I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Hey, Sebastian, where's last week's episode?
It's still being worked on.
At this point, we have recorded one episode that has not been released yet.
Well, I look at it this way. We're block recording, and then we'll have shit to just be released.
Fuck's sake. All right, I feel you.
Like, I wasn't expecting that. So, you know, I mentioned that I was doing the American Film Market and did that. And it was pretty good. So
good. I'm glad.
We got some good leads from that and been following up and talking to a few people, but it's been a lot. And now prepping to go to Cancun for pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's been hectic. And it's not that I haven't wanted to do it. It's just that, you know, it's just been so crazy. But the plan is...
I wasn't going to give you shit. It was meant to be a joke.
No, I know. It's just for me. Okay. It's just I need to say it. I need to get it out. I need to put it out in the universe. I'm gonna edit it. I'm gonna edit this one, and then I'm gonna schedule them for release, so that way they're good, and I don't gotta worry about them, and I don't gotta feel like an asshole.
You know what, Sebastian? I believe in you.
I appreciate that, man. I
do. And for all those that don't know, what is AFM, my dude?
It's the American Film Market, and it's...
Ooh, I'm applying, like, sound bites. gonna get a gasp from the audience? So yes, the American Film Market.
In a nutshell, it's a place where filmmakers can come with ideally finished films and, you know, talk to distributors about selling them and, you know... essentially selling your movie. That's the whole point of it. That's the business side of, you know, the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
I went not having a completed film, but, you know, having scripts and having plans and this and that, looking for financing.
Yeah.
Here's the downside of that plan, though.
Okay.
There are so many filmmakers who go to this thing with the same fucking plan.
Oh, no.
It's not even about competing. It's that I'm pretty sure that people who do financing are aware of this. And like, you know what? I'm going to steer clear because mm-hmm. they're going to bother the shit out of me.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
So it's I met a lot of great people, met a lot of great filmmakers and a lot of great producers and, you know, a couple of writers and even a couple of distributors, too. So it's a great networking spot. But unless you have a completed film, unless you're further along in production, it's really not the ideal place for you.
Is networking worth the price of admission?
I don't know. I don't know yet, just because I don't know how these connections are going to pan out. If they pan out well, then it could be. Because, you know, you don't pay, you don't... It just cemented that this industry is very much pay to play.
Yeah, of course it's always has been.
And that's the thing, like, I've been... Obviously, I knew that until, like, and just... It's just getting slapped in the face with it. Like, reality just came out, unzipped its pants, and slapped me in the face with, hey, pay to play. Oh.
You get blinded by the good idea that you have and thinking, it's like, oh, maybe I can go around this time. Maybe this is good enough to, like, sort of open up a window, open up a door. Like, you know, maybe one of those producers is a bit hot and needs to let a breeze in. And then, whew, in comes me. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, ever so slowly, you, like... It's like, what's that? Oh, yeah, it's that returning feeling of self-loathing and doubt and hatred that I've missed so dearly. And it's just there, it puts its arm around you and just goes, come on, buddy. Come on, back over here. But I was so close to the light. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that, buddy. But that door was open. No, it wasn't. It's locked. There's about 18 locks on that, dude. Come on, dude. You're not a lockpick. But I can learn. No, you can't. Come on, over here. I've got the office takeout and booze for you. Oh, I love those things. I know you do, buddy. Hello,
damn.
Darkness, my old friend.
You summed that up so well. but it's true. Like there is that sense of like the place where it's at, the Lowe's Hotel in Santa Monica, it's kind of imposing. Like you walk in and it's like four or five floors and it's just all these different production companies and people from all over the world trying to do the same thing you're doing. And it's like, it's intimidating.
Daunting.
And it's daunting and it definitely puts that self-doubt and, you know, self-loathing back in your head. But it's also like the sobering thought that I had that kind of helped ease me into like being okay with being there and being a little more open with the people there was like, as big as all these people are, as big as all the people selling, buying, directing, writing, all of that stuff, as big as they all are there, they all started in the exact same place that I am.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like, okay, it's not impossible because you can see the payout. You're literally greeted by it. So as daunting as it was also kind of inspiring because it's like, as long as I do not stop, I can get there.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, you know, good and bad. Good and bad.
Yeah. Well, I think you've answered that pretty well. So let's get on with the episode, right? I'm down.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a segue.
No, there's no segue. Like,
but we were getting so good at them.
Hang on, let me try.
This is what we get for taking a month off.
Now, if you think our careers are a horror story, let's tell you about some of our favorite horrors.
It'll do.
Pig. I'm just like self-doubt and loathing is coming back again. Come on, Ed. You tried. Back over here. Oh man.
No, but so. Oh, honestly, what's crazy to me, just my last thing about AFM and how it connects.
Okay.
The amount of horror movies that were being sold at this market.
Oh damn.
Was crazy.
Really?
And have you heard of the movie Terrifier 2?
Yes, I have. I've seen the TikToks of like apparently people are fainting watching this movie. It's like it's not possible.
So the production company that did that was there, I went in and I spoke to a couple of the people there, and I was just kind of getting a sense of like the movie, like it was made on a budget of like $250,000.
Whoa.
It's grossing over almost over $10 million now.
Damn. That is a...
Like, horror... Yeah, like, horror movies in terms of, like, return on investment are fucking huge.
Mm.
Which is crazy to me. And, like, this year, from what I've... I mean, I'm not the biggest horror fan, but I have a newfound appreciation for horror.
I love a good horror.
And like, this year is apparently really good for horror movies.
Yes.
Yeah, you had Terrifier 2, Smile.
Of them, two of the movies. I hate Smile. Smile can go do one.
I haven't seen it, but it's been doing well.
It's been doing well. It got, you know, to quote Shawzy, "Fuck you, Shawzy." It puts bums in seats. You know, where, like, it is probably like the busiest I've seen a cinema since No Way Home, which is a very long time. Close to a year now. Like, nothing has filled a cinema quite as much as Smile has. And I get that it's got good reviews, and I get that it's reviewing well, but for me, as a horror fan, I need endings, bro. I don't need franchises. That movie barrel rolls towards its ending, and it does the CSI 10-minute cleanup. Within that cleanup, sort of forces a character that's been there the whole movie pretty much down your throat, and I was like, don't fucking do it. And then, like, they sort of have this handoff that sort of suggests that, ooh, the story continues. I was like, come on, man. Like, and because of how well it's done, it's going to get a sequel. It's going to get a sequel. But it'll be more of the same. And I'm not here for that. Whereas one I watched yesterday, which is a horror movie, is possibly the most perfect blend of Hitchcock and Chekhov that I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to talk about our favorite horror movies.
Hell yes, we are.
I mean, you set it up. You might as well kick us off, bro.
All right, yeah. So I'll talk about this one. I saw The Watcher yesterday. Well, it's not The Watcher. It's just called Watcher. Now, not to be confused with the dog shit series that's on Netflix. This movie is very much a combination of Rear Window and The Seagull. So if you don't know, Hitchcock and Chekhov are both sort of fans of the... it's called Chekhov's Gun. Do you know what Chekhov's Gun is, Sebastian? If you see the gun in Act 1, it goes off in Act 3. Kind of shit. And you've got this whole sort of claustrophobic setting in Romania with Mia, Micah Monroe. So she's done a few horrors now. She's done Guest, It Follows, and she's following up with Watcher. I think she's done Hot Summer Nights as well. I can't be sure, but that wasn't really a horror. But she's amazing in this movie. It's like she's matured, like, way past those sort of teen slasher horrors, but she's sort of kept the horror genre. She's evolving herself around a genre she does good in. And you don't, you know... Feathered and Lethal. You just don't see that these days, Cotton. Like... She plays this, American actress, like, horribly out of place. You know, people speaking this, like... You know, people speaking Romania around her all day. Like, she begins to feel distant from, like, her husband, where she's living. And, like, the what's the guy in Friends? The ugly naked guy? Basically that across the building is, like, you know, waving at her, follows her, that kind of shit. In the background, there's a serial killer on the loose, like, decapitating girls and shit. She befriends a stripper, and I literally turn to my mate and I'm like, she gonna die. They're gonna become friends. She's gonna be all like, oh, you stay with me, baby girl, I protect you. Boom, dead. But yeah, like, the way this movie sort of takes its inspirations and sort of runs with them in an original way, in a modern way, it's nice to see modern horrors that sort of feel real to the point where it's, like, unnerving. And that's why I watch horrors. I watch horrors to unnerve myself. It's, like, it's a strong feeling. And you, like, it's like, if I watch a horror and I'm numb, and I'm like, okay, something's wrong. Like, like, if you can't make yourself feel unnerved, you are something inside of you is broken. Because as soon as you can tap into that emotion, that, like, even your brain struggles to, like, keep at bay. Because your brain wants to, you know, everyone thinks they're strong and shit until you're faced with the reality of, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. It's really good. It's a really great movie. And I think, you know, for coming towards the end of 2022, directed by Chloe O'Connor. Phenomenal movie. If it's in your local cinema, I highly recommend you go see it. It will be not a bad, you'll not have a bad time, 100%.
Nice.
What about you, dude? What's your number 10?
So this was a movie that I saw on Halloween with my brother. It was, for me, it's one of my favorites. It's Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, good choice. I have a different zombie movie.
And, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of zombie movies. Like, I got through the first season of The Walking Dead, and I'm just like, okay, cool. It's fine.
Do you want 21 more seasons of it? Because now you can.
No!
On VFX on demand.
Well, now you can.
VX, sorry. No. FX. FX. VX.
FX.
The fuck, what am I talking about? The X.
Isn't it on AMC?
Yeah, FX and AMC partners, bro.
The more you know. So I love this fucking movie, and I love the way Edgar Wright. I mean, I guess when I first saw it, it was like, okay, you know, it's a zombie movie, it's a comedy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and it's fine. But I feel like the more that I've started to pay more attention to like directing styles and editing styles and shit like that, the more I have definitely a newfound appreciation for the way Edgar Wright does his shit.
Yeah.
Like the whole sequence with the, you know, Sean skipping through channels and essentially getting the exposition by each word from a channel being that shit's fucking funny.
I love the, when he wakes up and he goes to the store in mm-hmm. like you got the two separate days and it's like, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same camera angle. It's the same speed. It's the same height. It's the same lens. Mm-hmm. But it's like the things around him are changing and he's just oblivious. That is a phenomenal piece of acting, camera work, and choreography.
I also love that Wright doesn't shy away from like the gore of it. Like, it's a pretty
very
gory
Romero inspired in terms of like how much
absolutely.
Gore it shows.
It's so good. And it's not like, yeah, it's kind of, there's a sense of like gory for the sake of gory, but it's gore that makes sense. These fucking things are tearing people apart. So, you know, if you're going to see that shit, you got to see that shit.
You got to see that shit.
And it's just a really funny overall, you know, it's a great fucking Halloween movie.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good choice. Damn, I did my list so quickly that didn't even come to me, and now I feel annoyed. You've out-Britished me. I don't think any of my movies are British, bro. Actually, no, one of them is. Thank fuck. Christ.
Well, in my defense, that was my only British one, so that I've pretty much shot my wad already.
Well, like, I love, like, the old Hammer movies, but, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, I have, like, I know the horrors I like, and I know the comedies I like. Not everyone necessarily agrees with them. I know Hammer Horrors.
No,
I know Hammer Horrors is like a huge, has a huge cult following in England. There's so many like mm-hmm. independent horrors that come through England, but it's like some of them are a bit of a slog. But I want to talk about my zombie movie. Seems like you've done yours. I want to do mine. So my zombie movie is Train to Busan, the South Korean zombie movie from
nice.
This is all the way back in 2016, I believe.
All the way back. Fuck you,
all
dude.
All the way back. Well, it looks like I was about to say 2010, but I think it's 2016. Yeah, it's 2016. That's not how
all the way back to 6 years ago.
Yeah, I kind of like, I've set myself up, or you know what? Sometimes you have to eat that shit sandwich. I'm going to butcher this name until the cows come home, and I apologize. Yoon Sung Ho. Mm. I did that as best as possible. Yeah, like, takes place solely on, surprisingly enough, A Train to Busan. But the way it handles, like, sort of, it makes an unwinnable situation feel winnable for the goal that it sets mm-hmm. up. Like, like the same with Bullet Train. It sets itself up with a goal. As long as you get to that goal by any means necessary, jobs are good. And it's not about sort of surviving the bigger zombie impact. It takes something global and brings it down to a train.
Mm-hmm.
That is so hard to do, especially when you've got like people moving between carriages and shit. You've got like, you know, what if there's school athletes there that like can try to defend themselves, that kind of shit. It gives you all these sort of different obstacles that even the zombies themselves have to sort of work around, really. It's not like a sort of open and shut kind of deal, you know. There's a method into like, it takes chaos and gives it a method. It gives it a method. It gives it a target. And I think it's really well filmed. Some of the like, I love the South Korean language. You know me. I love Old Boy. I've got another sort of South Korean Japanese movie on my list as well. But you know, Park Chan-wook with the Vengeance trilogy. I wouldn't consider any of them horrors, but like they're definitely psychological, sort of.
Yeah.
Make you think kind of movies, and it's just a rhythm to the South Korean language that when you translate it, like, you could do like Train to Fucking Marylebone or some shit, and just take the same script and speak it English, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, like this movie is a one of a kind, really. So what is your next movie? Dickhead.
No, I just kind of wanted to touch. It's like I haven't seen Train to Busan, but I know that I've seen like bits of it that have been like talked about in like YouTube videos and where they talk about horror, and like there's something about Asian horror films that just hit different in comparison to like, you know, more, I guess, Western horror films. Like there's just a level of fear that doesn't exist for us. And I feel like it has to do with the way that they respect the material a lot more to just go fucking balls in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely crazy. So I think, that was a great pick, dude.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mine, I'm taking us back. I'm taking us way...
all the way back.
All to 2015. The way back to 1931.
Holy fuck.
So, my pick is Dracula.
Bela Lugosi. Okay, fair play. Classic, can't go
wrong. So, for me, this movie represents just... I look at this movie and I kind of like, there is no horror without this movie, you know, the Universal Monster movies, because they were such a staple of, they become such a staple of the horror, and they set the bar for, obviously, you know, things change and things progress and everything, but when you think of Dracula, you think of Bela Lugosi's Dracula. When you think of fucking the Wolfman, you think, you know, that kind of stuff. So... This is a timeless movie. Yeah, it's kind of a slog to get through. It's not a long movie by any means. I think it's not even an hour fucking long. It feels like it sometimes. But
that's because the pacing. Moment, it's deliberate. It's deliberately slow paced.
Exactly. Absolutely. But that first moment. When Bela Lugosi's coming down the stairs and Jonathan Harker's at the face and he's like, I am, you know, he's introducing himself. He is Dracula. And he's standing and he's just this imposing figure standing on the doorstep talking about the creatures of the night. And you're just like to this day, like it was a Halloween staple when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's still a Halloween thing for me. And there's a coolness.
You know, Halloween and Dracula, it just goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Like, just I can marathon all those movies on fucking Halloween. Like, I'd probably be asleep by the end of them, but like I love them, and it's just so great. And obviously I've seen the Bram Stoker one, the one with Gary Oldman, and I liked it.
Yeah,
I still think that for me Bela Lugosi is still like the definitive Dracula, and compare, because you know, you have all these, you've had so many people play Dracula. Christopher Lee is probably the second for me, but like, I think be all end all, Dracula's Bela Lugosi, and this is that movie for me.
So Bram, like I knew this, but I just googled it to just to make sure that Gary Oldman movie is Francis Ford Coppola. Bram Stoker is the author of Dracula.
No, I know.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. That was that's
the, sorry,
that's
like just the way my brain sort of manipulated that sort of meant like, do you think Bram Stoker directed this shit? Like, you cannot be serious right now. This man did not just do that. But you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned Christopher Lee, because like that is I don't want to say that's the only Dracula I've seen, because I've seen the Keanu Reeves one as well, and we don't talk about that piece of shit.
Well, that's the one with Gary Oldman.
Oh, is that Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Like, he tries to bring in this, like, Shakespearean aspect, because at the time he was trying to do Shakespeare, and he's like, you just know he came onto set and was like, dude, I got, like, this totally wicked idea, you know. Just let me run with it, man.
It's so bad.
It's so bad, bro. Oh man, yeah. Okay. Like I get convoluted. Like my sort of memory of Dracula is so convoluted between like all the different versions that I'd like. I know the story, but like, I remember different bits of the story from different movies. To sort of frame the whole picture, like that's how weird it is.
Honestly, same.
Like, there's something memorable about every adaptation of Dracula, and I'm even looking forward to Robert Eggers' next movie, the remake of Nosferatu, because mm-hmm. he's using Bill Sarsgaard, who was Pennywise. So I think that's a great casting. I'm pretty sure it's also Lily Rose Depp in it as like the female lead.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Strange. Right. Oh, it's my turn again.
Yes,
so, Sebastian, a foreign horror or a English-speaking horror?
Let's do English. We'll bounce.
Okay, let me go with... Let me go with VHS. Get this one out of the way. Because it's like, it's a bit of like, it's just a movie, but it's like, it's a collection of movies. So, but it started Adam Wingard's career. And he's now well known for the live action Death Note because mm-hmm. he tried to do live action anime. And you can't do that apparently because
you don't
want to anger anime fans.
No. No, you do not.
And then he went from that and thought it was a good idea to do Godzilla versus King Kong, which I like. I like the King Kong and New Godzilla movies. It's we both do. Like
it is two big, beefy sons of bitches beating the shit out of each other. What more do you need?
It's fucking popcorn.
Exactly.
And sometimes I need that. Let me enjoy my things. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I forget. I think Adam Wingard directs the sort of the movie that like sort of overlays throughout the movie, because like these group of bandits have been told to go into this sort of abandoned house and find a VHS tape. But in this abandoned house is many TVs, many VHS tapes, and ever so slowly they're watching them in like sort of, they come back out of like watching the tape. As they watch the tape, we watch it too. And like each one of them is like its own horror story. You know, this girl sort of seduces these frat boys but ends up becoming like a witch, and she like sort of, she gets her thumb and just like rips down like from the top of her head to like her mouth, and like sort of just her skin begins to peel, and she's like sort of like, yeah, she's like spreads wings, sort of takes these guys, these like this guy and a girl get stalked on their sort of honeymoon drive. It's fucking weird. Like they sort of employ themselves on like the found footage aspect of horrors. Like each one of them is a found footage VHS tape. But like as these criminals don't realize they've been set up, they are becoming a tape themselves, because whilst they've been watching, someone in the house has been like sort of moving, like this guy sort of starts in this like armchair. They think he's dead. But as they come out of one of the movies, the chair's fucking empty, G. Brother, it's a fuck up. At least one of these movies will make you go, what the fuck? I'm trying to remember some of the others from the first one. There's an exorcism gone wrong. Like these guys, I've told about this like Halloween party on like Craigslist. They all head there. They go into this house, and like no, it's not an exorcism. It's a ritual. They go upstairs and like this group of old guys are like sort of like got symbols on the floor, candles, books, and like they're sort of shouting out, like they're chanting this prayer that sort of turns this girl into like some demon that ends up like just killing everyone. It's fucking whack, but it was one of the first movies to do the whole like sort of well, it's not one of the first, but like it does, because lots of movies do the whole hands through the walls kind of shit, hands and faces through the walls. This movie does that really well as the guys try to escape. Is there another one I want to talk about from VHS 1? No, actually I put VHS 1 because like you've always got to go with the first. But my actual favorite segment from a VHS movie is in VHS 2, but I'm not going to talk about that now because we need to learn about your next movie.
I think I've seen one of the VHSs. I don't remember which one. If I did, I'm pretty sure I saw it with you.
Probably. I probably showed you my favorite one from
VHS 2. Probably, that makes sense.
Is it the one about, like, it ends with the Lamb of God being born in Indonesia?
I honestly can't remember. You said VHS, and, like, there's a shiver that went through me, and I was like, I feel like I've seen it then. So for me, it's not, mine's just, it's kind of out there. So my next one is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I'm going to have to change one of my choices.
Love this movie. It is just,
it's so good. It is so good. But
it's just like, it is. Oh man, this I cannot say enough good things about this fucking movie. Especially, okay, talking about like a specific thing, it is the way. So if you don't know, the movie is about two friends are trying to fix up a cabin in the woods, but the way they present themselves, they kind of look like the grotesque hillbillies, and there's a bunch of college students trying to party. They think these guys are dangerous and this and that. So, but they're normal guys. You know, they just want to build up their vacation cabin and go fishing and drink beer, as you do, you know. So story goes on, they're fixing their thing, but these college kids are under the assumption these guys kidnapped one of their friends and they're trying to do everything they can to save them. But in doing that, these fucking morons do everything they possibly can to get to kill themselves, to the point where it convinces Tucker and Dale that it's like ritualistic suicide that these kids are doing.
Yep.
Like one kid's going after him, trips, and flies into a wood chipper.
Yes.
And he is like, just
destroyed. they're running side by side. It's man. And one of them trips and then sort of lands on like a pitchfork.
Oh yeah, just
I forgot if it was Tucker or Dale, just stands there and just goes, now that's just really unfortunate.
it is so fucking funny, and it's just that subversion of the trope, and you know, it works, and Alan Tudyk, he's just fucking amazing.
I think I've talked about genre cycle on the podcast before, in which a sort of a genre starts, it becomes like, you know, and it, like people sort of like get inspired and try and do their own version, and then that becomes overdone, and then you've got the sort of the comedy sort of aspect, you know, sort of comes around, all right, let's take that idea and let's make it funny, and then to sort of restart the genre, it becomes parodied, Now, this is that sort of... And those parodies, like, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're so good, it's like, oh, crap, well, you know, we now need to think of something else. But Tucker and Dale was the parody of, like, the sort of the overdone modern slasher movie. Now, I've actually, because of Tucker and Dale versus Evil and you saying it, I've changed mine to actually probably one of, if not the most famous mid-noughties slasher movie. Definitely one of the most memorable for, like, even if you haven't seen this movie, you remember this movie. But yeah, like, Tucker and Dale was the sort of the parody of that, because Tucker and Dale came out in 2010. And it's like, it's aged gorgeously.
It is. It has.
It is. Grab a couple of mates. Get a couple of beers.
Oh, yeah.
Harder, Teddy. Harder. Right. So, I agree with you, Tucker and Dale. Great movie. May as well, now that I've set it up, I'll tell you what my replacement is for Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. Final Destination 2. No one I know, whether I'm driving or driving with someone, will refuse to drive behind those, like, log carrying trucks. Mm-hmm. And it's because of this movie.
It's because of that. It has scarred me for life. Anytime I'm driving behind a truck or anything like that that's carrying something that, if it hits something wrong, can fly and decapitate me, nah, bro. Fuck that shit.
I am changing
lanes. I am speeding up. I am getting the fuck out of the way.
And it's also why I, you know, in Universal City Walk. Now, for all those don't know, America, you know, you can't just have the theme park. You need to have the theme park plus. So most theme parks in America have this sort of you know, free to play aspect. You know, like, you know, dip your feet in before you go the whole whack. You know, you've got what is Disney's called?
Downtown Disney.
And then Universal Studios has Universal City Walk. Now, on Universal City Walk is this retro King Kong. I imagine it currently has its Santa Claus outfit on, because
I imagine it's pretty.
It's already Christmas in America. It's happened over here too. We also have the horror, its own horror show that is Mariah Carey. It's that one time of the year where she comes crawling out of the ground. Is it time for me to make some money? I refuse to walk under the King Kong because it has the kid that walks under the glass panels that shatter on top of him because of the pigeons and shit. Fuck. No, I can't walk under shit, man. I can't walk. No. I walked under, I had to do it today. I had to bite my tongue, bro. I was on the way to the shops today, right? Someone was working on the telephone mast, working on one of the wires, and all I thought was, if that thing snaps, I'm getting ripped in half, bro. That thing's gonna electrocute me. I'm gonna have burns. It's just gonna go whoosh, just like make like turn me into human soup, G. I was like, I don't trust you up there. I kept looking at him to see if he looks at me, but this motherfucker concentrated, and I was like, you don't know how much props I give you for not, like, getting distracted by me, like, you know, sort of trying to give you the stink eye. I was like...
Just staring at you.
Yeah, you, like, I know this is awkward, but, like, I need to know that, you know, you're working right now, bro, because my life is in your hands, man. But it was fine. I came back from the shops and he'd finished. And I was like,
nice.
You know, I didn't mention it, but in my head, I was like, you better be finished by the time I get back. Like, I ain't taking no shit. Right. What's your next one? Final Destination 2, which, like, just real quick, there's so many. Which one's your favorite?
I'm going to say 3 was my favorite.
I grew up with 3. 3's great. The one that let you choose if people die or not on the DVD version.
Yeah.
I love that one, bro. On the roller coaster. Shit.
Like, I know I've seen 2. I think 2 and 3 are the only ones that I've seen in their entirety.
Mm.
So, you know, 2 I don't like because it scarred me. So I'm going with 3 because I fucking love Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, she. I used to have a little crush on her.
Same.
Hey, I call dibs.
Since we're talking about childhood crushes,
oh no,
it's kind of how that's how I'm segueing into mine. So my next pick is It. 2017.
The movie 2017?
No, the movie It.
Oh, sorry.
The movie 2017.
I didn't hear you. You cut off. I just heard 2017, and I was like, well, I heard of this movie.
What? No.
I've heard of 2012. It's so... Like, it's so bad, it's a horror movie. Like...
And, like, okay, so the story behind me seeing it, because this honestly, it's one of the reasons it's my fucking favorites. Because this story is just so fucking ridiculous. You bribed me into going to see this movie.
I remember. You wanted to go see the Steven Soderbergh Lucky thing.
Lucky Logan.
You wanted to go see Lucky Logan. I was like, nah, was bro, you gotta go see It.
And like we went to go see it in Burbank, and we saw it at the fucking their Dolby thing. And I was just like, fuck me. And I think this was there've been movies before, but this was the movie where I was like, I was in the theater, it was a horror movie, and I walked out thinking that's just a really great movie.
Yeah.
Like
the first one is so much better than the second one.
Like I like chapter two, but yeah, I agree. Chapter one is by far the best one out of the two.
I only love chapter two for Bill Hader just like trying to give
Bill Hader being Bill Hader.
Bill Hader trying to give Pennywise some shit. It's like, fuck you. And he just like spazzes out, bro. I was like,
but it's like
that's just Bill Hader on a Friday night. Like,
hey, he's doing that like Bill Hader look and like, dude, that's not fear. That's fucking hilarious. What are you doing, Bill? But like, I think the reason that chapter one was probably the best of the two is number one, the performance of the kids. They're all so fucking good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these kids have no right to be this good this soon. But it works and it's great. And like, them playing and Pennywise playing off, you know, Bill Skarsgård playing off of them the way he does is just so great. And there's a genuine sense of fear from all the kids. There's a genuine sense of fear throughout the entire movie. But then you get to the end and they beat him and, you know, they scare him away or whatever. You feel that triumph and it feels good and it feels right. And it's like, this is a solid fucking movie. If they didn't do chapter two, I would have been happy with it. Like, yeah. It is a complete film. It is a complete story. Obviously, they kind of leave it in the ending. Like, oh, if he ever comes back, we'll come back. But, you know, you didn't have to do it. But I, hands down, It Chapter 1 over It Chapter 2.
Nice. Just be glad that there's a certain change from the book. In the movie.
Oh no! Like, yeah. Yeah. No, we don't talk about the change.
We're not going to talk about the change. But if you know. You know.
If you know, you know.
And you wish you didn't, I bet.
you really, really wish you didn't.
But, like, then it's sort of like you think about, like, Stephen King, like, and most of his adaptations. All of them include some kind of, like, that kind of almost weird sexual aspect to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'd rather they didn't. Like... Because it's kind of weird the way that, like, some of his writing.
I mean, we're talking weird and sexual stuff that I feel like, you know, the book takes the cake.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
No, not in a good way. Not in a good way.
That is not a cake I would have a piece of. So let's get into your last pick, bro.
My last pick. Let's do it. I've been doing top 10. Shit. I do have 10 more. You know, if we want to do this again next week, I have more.
I can come up with 5 more.
Yeah, let's do it. So, last one for this week. Okay, so I need to make sure. I've already done one from 2022. I've already done I don't want to say 2003 is my classic horror, but it was so far away that, yeah, now it is.
found footage. I've done a foreign. You know what? I'm going to go with my other Tucker and Dale versus Evil kind of movie. Not as comedic, but had me bawling in times because of how fucking funny it was. Cabin in the Woods. Drew Goddard, 2012. Chris Hemsworth, before, like, fucking four on the motorcycle. Don't worry, you guys. There's a natural ramp that the like created in the forest. I'll use that to escape. Just crashes against this, like, the dome shield thing that the bird, like, sort of splatters itself against on in the start. And if you don't remember that, it's like, you're like, whoa, what the fuck? You kind of have to pause it out of shock. And then, like, you look at a mate, because don't ever watch this movie alone. Like, you look at your mate and just go, four just got fucked up. And then you've got the blind guy, you can never remember his name, from Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. He plays one of the, like, controllers, who's, he's got money on the, like, the mermaid man, or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that's how he dies. Like, one of those things actually comes out to kill him, and he's like, oh, come on! Just that sequence when all the monsters get let loose, like, as soon as they set that up in the movie, all you're thinking is, I want to see every motherfucker. Like, yeah. I want to see this place get fucked up. And that's exactly what happens. And it's perfect. It takes all these great ideas, all these, like, mythical creatures, some, you know, more comedic than others, like, you know, parodies on other movies. Some original, some, like, classics, like, redone. But holy shit, that sequence when the building just gets destroyed, my dude. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, who comes in clutch at the end? The stoner.
Stoner.
And I'm pretty sure, like, Sigourney Weaver is, like, the sort of...
The big boss.
The big boss, like the vessel of, like, all that is bad, like, sort of trying to maintain peace. Like, all you have to do is die and everyone else is okay.
Yep.
And these motherfuckers are like, well, I don't want to. And Sigourney's like, for real, fucker? Like, you're going to make sure everyone dies so your bitch ass lives? Wow.
Wow.
That's offensive. That's offensive.
We love a bad boy king, and I want to die.
Sorry, I watched another week of watching too much TikTok, bro. Like, at this point, I don't even have sleeping problems. I have TikTok problems. Like, I wake up in the morning and everyone asks me, oh, how did you sleep, Ed? Like, my parents and, like, some friends. I was like, shit. And like, oh, why? You know, stressed? You know, you're scratching because I have eczema? I was like, no. I was up to 3 o'clock in the morning watching fucking TikTok. You know, and of course, you know, you see some jiggity booty and it's like, oh, fuck, well, you know. Off to Pornhub I go, like... Like, that's all the sign I needed to actually do this. But that feeling's always there. It never goes away. It's like, that's my problem, Cap. I'm always masturbating.
Always ready.
There's just times in the day where I'm taking a break. Hey, the show's called Free Falling. Learn more about Ed, more than you ever wanted to know.
Abs. Jesus Christ. Oh,
that's
shit.
A horror story. Hey, look, if King Kong starts coming through your windows, start swimming. And I'll leave you there.
Oh,
I'm signing and I am out of here. Hey, Meg. I'll let you back in the house. No, favorite, like, just real quick, favorite Family Guy line. I'm going to do one, you do one. My favorite one. Hey, Quagmire. I fucked your dad. What a line. Right, what's yours?
Okay, let's see. Favorite. Okay. Ah. And it goes on for so long.
Yep, it goes on for so long.
Oh, Christ. Well, that was a good episode. So join us next week for more.
Motherfucker, I still
movies.
Got mine.
No, you don't.
I still haven't done my last pick of this.
No, you don't get to anymore. It's over. Go home.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
I am home.
But if you want to, you know. I'll mute myself so you can do it. Go ahead, Sebastian. I apologize. Jump in the gun.
You're good. I'm in a bit of a pickle because, like, if we're doing returning this into a two-parter, I'm all for that. So I don't know if I should, because I have another one in my back pocket, and it's definitely like a guilty pleasure kind of horror movie.
Ooh.
And as opposed to this one's a little more like closer to home. You know what? I think I'm going to save this one. I'm going to save this one for my last pick of the next one. So this is probably one of the guiltiest pleasure movies.
Okay.
So for me, my last pick of this episode is going to be Freddy versus Jason.
Damn, like my t-shirt.
It's the same reason I love Godzilla and King Kong. I just love the idea of these two fucking monsters just duking it out. There's just something cool about it. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, you have Freddy and Jason competing throughout the entire fucking movie. You know, they're competing for kills, they're competing for bodies, they're competing for, you know, who's the best monster. Even though Freddy tries to like use Jason to, you know, kind of restir fear so he can feed off of it or whatever. Seeing them go at it and them seeing them using their weaknesses against each other, like their fears, is just amazing because it shows like as big and as strong and as powerful as you are, everyone has that one thing that turns them into a little bitch.
Eye stuff. I hate eye stuff.
Same. Like, heights are probably my biggest thing.
I was going to say, like, the amount of times you've had to hold my hand coming home from Vegas, that one bit.
But you know what's crazy? The more I think about it, it's not necessarily heights that give me the issue. It is the fear of falling. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit freaks me. Like, the sensation of falling, I fucking hate it. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. You can't make me do it. Okay, so.
Well, if you fall from somewhere high enough that you think is going to kill you, you'll probably die before you hit the floor. So, there's that.
Thanks.
No worries,
thanks
man.
For that.
You know, at least you won't feel yourself turn into jelly.
Shit.
Like, that's what my dad says, like, when someone gets hit by a train, because my dad used to be a police officer. So he's like, he's had to go to, like, train suicides. And he says, like, sometimes it's just a pile of clothes. Like, you get hit so hard by that train that you literally, like, your organs, like, you get liquefied. Is basically what happens. Like, you have to get identified through dental records.
Fuck me. Well, and I think that's...
And that's why you're told to do hands on top of your head on a plane during a crash. It's not because of, like, oxygen or, like, keeping yourself together. It's because it's really hard to identify a decapitated body.
Well, the more you know.
The more you know.
I think...
The more you know from this gringo.
That was so funny! Fuck's sake.
We need that as a segment in future episodes.
The more you know from this gringo, Jesus. I think that's where we're going to end it.
That's where we're going to end it. People aren't looking forward to the next horror movies. They're looking forward to more bullshit in between.
That's how it be, dude. That's how it be.
How it be. That banter be infectious.
Absolutely.
It's good to be back, man.
Same.
I'm looking forward to next week, and hopefully the episode after next week's has a bit more of a plan to it, because this one did not.
I mean, I feel like we, honestly, I think when we were working on like a list episode, we don't need too much of a plan, because like the structure's pretty much embedded.
Yeah.
And I feel like our back and forth on it has gotten pretty natural, so it's good. Yeah. You know, it's good.
Yeah. But to all of our loyal followers, our loyal listeners, all 0.5 of you.
All of one of you.
Thank you
for sticking with us.
Thank you for sticking with us. And I mean, they don't need to subscribe because they've already subscribed. But you know, if you could like and give it a share, we'd appreciate it.
You can pass this along and get your friends to subscribe.
Yeah, why not?
You know, threaten a puppy, whatever. It's fine. We're all the same. What? I didn't say that.
Good night.
What's up?
I said good night.
And good luck. And good luck.
Everyone seen that movie? That's a good movie. it's always a good time for Scrub Squads. All right, you guys. We're fucking off. We'll see you later.
Bye.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like doing the throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip.
I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the scripts.
I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.